Good evening. Our first scripture lesson tonight is Psalm 51, verses 1 through 19. You can find it on page 889 of your pew Bibles. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the inmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. In your good pleasure, make Zion prosper. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then there will be righteous sacrifices, whole burnt offerings to delight you. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. This ends our first lesson.
Thank you. I'll be reading from page 1554 in your pew Bible. One verse, Mark chapter 2, verse 17. On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." I speak to you tonight, a little bit of a theme I think that is appropriate for us to think about as we prepare for Easter. Ash Wednesday is a, and to many, is a somewhat mysterious date on the Christian calendar, not practiced by all Christians, celebrated by all Christians. I was saved in the Baptist faith, grew up in the Baptist, ordained a pastor, pastored for 40-plus years in the Baptist faith, and we did not celebrate Ash Wednesday. We celebrated Easter and a lot of different things in relationship to that, but not strictly Ash Wednesday in the Lenten season. So this has been a new experience for me. It's been good. I think it's been kind of exciting to see how others do this and how we celebrate, how we look at things, and how we reverence the Lord and honor the Lord. And it's kind of been a new experience, good experience, as I think about Lent. Lenten is the season, is this 40-weekday period before Easter. As some of us may not know what it all means, but it's a season, as I understand it, of reflection and preparation as we move towards Easter. Sometimes it's accompanied by fasting, sometimes abstinence of certain things in our lives, but certainly a time of preparation. And all occurs before our celebration of Easter. And by observing these 40 days of Lent, we replicate, symbolically at least, Jesus' sacrifice and his withdrawal in the desert for 40 days. But I think one of the major reasons, one of the major purposes of all of this is for us to develop a lifestyle and a habit of repentance. And that's what these next several weeks we'll be focusing on, repentance, and focusing on our relationship in this special way with God. Charles Haddon Spurgeon, the great preacher from the 19th century in London, England, who was perhaps one of the pastors of the first megachurch. Thousands and thousands came to his church in London long before they had public transportation or modern transportation. And he said that repentance is a lifelong act. It's not something we just do one time and forget about it. It should be the pattern of our lives. And this particular time does several things. It evokes the past. It encourages us to focus on the present. And then it points us toward an inspiring future. So it's a very encouraging time. And as I said, Ash Wednesday is about the beginning of preparation. All of the Lenten season is focused upon preparation for Easter. And Ash Wednesday specifically is about how we can begin those preparations. The Book of Common Prayer says that it's about making a right beginning of repentance. The Book of Common Prayer also says that it is the need which all Christians continually have to renew their repentance and faith. It's all about having and maintaining this close, intimate relationship with Almighty God through the person of Jesus Christ. So Ash Wednesday is the day when the journey towards Easter begins. And it prepares us in three ways that I want to talk to you about tonight. First of all, as I said, to mourn the past. Secondly, to examine the present. And to look forward toward an inspiring future. So let's look at these three things very briefly tonight. Ash Wednesday is about mourning the past. We will apply ashes for those of you who so desire in a few moments in our communion service. And the ashes come from the palm leaves that were burned after last year's Palm Sunday. Palms speak of victory. And ashes speak of mourning and regret. When Job had all the calamity fall upon him, we see him sitting on the ground in sackcloth and ashes as he mourned for all of the things that had happened, mourned about his past. And so ashes speak of mourning and regret. Jesus spoke of repentance. True regret can include sackcloth and ashes. And people only repent when you realize you need to. Jesus said that it's not the healthy who need a doctor, it's the sick. And he said, I've not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners to repentance. So the ashes from last year's palms remind us, very important for us to remember this, but they remind us that we may have received Jesus Christ enthusiastically at the beginning of our Christian walk. It may have been years ago when we trusted Jesus as our Savior and we invited him into our lives. We gave ourselves to him. But maybe the years have gone by and maybe things have happened. Disappointments, hurts, problems, difficulties, disappointments. And they've kind of tainted or offset all of that joy, all of that enthusiasm, and perhaps we've lost our first love. Perhaps now we go through the motions. Perhaps now a lot of things we do aren't with the same vitality, the same enthusiasm, the same joy, the same love. The ashes represent in our dust a reminder. The ashes remind us that one day we will all die. They remind us of our death and that time is fleeting. Time is rapidly moving to that day that this life will end and the next life will begin. And so they are a symbol of our sorrow for our sins. As we apply these ashes in a few moments, let us remember that. So they represent the ashes of our past enthusiasm. What better call to return to our first love than to be marked with the ashes of our past enthusiasm? So we focus on the cross. We focus on what Jesus did and what he accomplished at the cross and later in the resurrection. So these ashes remind us that the original celebration of Palm Sunday gave way to the crucifixion less than a week later, as Jesus came into Jerusalem riding on that donkey. People expected the king, and kings came into a conquered city on a white stallion. Jesus came in humbly on a little mule, little donkey. And people hailed Jesus. And just days later, they said, "Nail Jesus." All of that excitement, all of that praise, all of that enthusiasm turned to hatred and criticism. It symbolizes for us that though we may start our journey with Jesus with such excitement and enthusiasm, if we are not careful, if we are not guarded, if we do not use our energy and effort and be alert, we can just fall into a mundane repetition of religious activities with no heart, no meaning, no intention. So Ash Wednesday is about mourning our past. But it's also about examining our presence, our present. Jesus gives us a great challenge here. He called his listeners, and he calls us, to consider the truth that those who are healthy do not need a doctor. Of course, many men never think they need a doctor, right? Men will almost have to die before they go to a doctor. Maybe Jesus certainly had that in mind also. But truly, he does not come, and healthy people do not need to go to a doctor. So Jesus was asking each one of them to examine themselves. Are you healthy? Are you right with God, or are you not right with God? Do you need a Savior? And you see, only those who agree that they are sick will submit to a doctor. Only those who realize something is wrong will they go and see the physician. That's on a physical basis, but it's also on a spiritual basis. Only when we acknowledge our sin before Almighty God can we receive his forgiveness. And so that's the challenge of Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday gives us an opportunity to examine our need afresh and to examine our relationship with Jesus Christ and to affirm that we either need a Savior or we have a Savior. We've trusted him. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, asked Paul and Silas, he said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved." How does a person know that he's saved? How does a person know that his relationship with God is right? Well, the greatest, most significant way to know that is through a changed life. It's impossible, I think you will agree with me, that a person who has the Holy Spirit living within him, that's what happens when a person trusts Jesus Christ as Savior. One of the things that happens is God, in the person of his Holy Spirit, comes to live inside the body of a believer, and he bears witness with our spirit. It is impossible, I would say, to be the same kind of person when you have Almighty God and all of his power, all of his glory, all of his characteristics living inside of you. You can't be the same. The key is, have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? That's the important thing. Do we agree with Jesus that we've forgotten that even though we received him as Savior, our need is daily? We don't just trust him as Savior and then go on with our lives and live how we want. No, we trust him, give him our lives, submit to him, and he energizes, he empowers us through this life right on into heaven as we engage in his mission for the world. We first trust him as Savior, and then after we're saved, we constantly want to live with him and for him. It's like the old preacher said, the way in is the way on. Now, what does he mean by that? Well, Colossians 2:6 reminds us, so then just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him. How are we saved? How do we receive Jesus? For by grace are you saved through faith, Ephesians tells us. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. So as we receive him by grace through faith, that's the way he wants us to live. We live by grace. We live by faith, trusting him and following him. Not working to try to be saved, but working because we are saved. So Ash Wednesday encourages us to examine our relationship with God right now. Thirdly, Ash Wednesday is about looking to the future. The final destination comes before us. As Ash Wednesday begins our voyage through Lent, first day of Lent, we are also aware that our final destination is Easter Sunday. 40-some days away from now, 40 weekdays, 46 days total, I think. Easter Sunday is a time when probably more people come to church in the Christian faith than any other day of the year. But Easter Sunday, we must remember, is more than a commemoration of the past. It's also about the future. You see, when commemoration has lost its spirit, it loses all meaning. If commemoration loses its spirit, then there's a tendency just to go through the motions. We can be walking with the Lord for many, many years, and we know just what to do, and we can go through the motions and just do it without any thought, without any spirit, without any emotion, without any thinking. Just do it. Some celebrate holy days or holidays without ever encountering the meaning. Many of us celebrate Thanksgiving, and to many it's just about eating and having family than it is really giving thanks. Many people celebrate Christmas Day without a living Savior. It's more about Santa, more about giving gifts than it is about the birth of the humanity of our Savior. And some celebrate Easter Sunday without a risen Lord. About Easter Bunny and other things. And we celebrate these holidays without really signifying the real meaning of it. But it brings us to our ultimate destiny. And this is the exciting thought as we go forward. The glorious message of Easter is he is risen. Where would you and I be tonight if he had never gotten out of that grave? Life is tough. Life is difficult. Many of us go through many hurts and disappointments and problems, but at least we have hope. We have the hope of a risen Savior. Where would we be if Jesus had never come out of that tomb? We would be hopeless, without hope in our world. But so we start here tonight, and we can prepare for Easter by reflecting on the promise of resurrection. He said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20, but Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep or who have died. God assures us, ladies and gentlemen, not only of Jesus' resurrection, Jesus did indeed rise from the dead, but he assures us also of our own ultimate destiny. If we have trusted Jesus as our Savior, one day we and all of our loved ones who have also trusted Jesus as Savior will be resurrected in Christ. 1 Thessalonians 4 reminds us of the rapture of the church. One day Jesus Christ is going to come back. The Bible says he will break, he'll step over the embattlements of heaven. He'll split the skies wide open. The Bible tells us that the archangel will shout, the trumpet of the Lord will sound, and Jesus will come. And the Bible says everyone that's a believer will rise up and meet him in the air. We'll be instantly changed. This old body with all of its inaccuracies, its frailties, its weaknesses, its imperfection will be changed to a new body. That's the promise of Easter. That's the promise of the resurrection. His resurrection is the promise of ours. If we have trusted him as our Savior, he will complete us with an eternal future of joy. Though it's difficult now, it's like the person said, read the last chapter of the book. We know how it's all going to end, don't we? One day Jesus is coming for us all. One day he will reign and rule over this earth and then take us all to heaven to spend eternity with him. And so the reminder for us tonight is that Ash Wednesday leads us to Easter Sunday. So let us ask God to help us develop an attitude of repentance every day, an attitude of turning from the things that this whole world offers and turn to him with love and submission. All the riches of heaven are before us. Jesus' resurrection brought victory over death. And that, ladies and gentlemen, gives depth to life. It gives meaning to life. It's not hopeless. It's not meaningless. It's all about him, and he has given us a purpose for life.